good evening and welcome to Phantom Access. I'm Karen, your co-host, and today is Tuesday, February 26th. We have a short-ish show this week. I think we're nearing the end of some of our seasons. Just a few things on while we wait for other stuff to get going. And I'm going to put through my co-host, Jamie and AJ, as soon as they call in here in a second. And sorry for the delay. We had a little problem getting started, but I think we're not too far behind tonight. So I know you're listening, Jamie and AJ. Call in. Tonight we're going to talk about The Walking Dead, The Gifted, and The Passage. And that was all that was on this week. Manifest had its season finale last week. Here's Jamie right now. Let me put her through.
Hello.
Jamie.
Sorry, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? Good.
Good. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a good week. I guess I had a lot of free time since not much was on this week. We have a short podcast. Didn't have to watch too much TV.
Yeah. I figure I can mention a couple things, but I think at least that I've seen, that you guys have also seen, there's only two shows. Well, one which AJ saw, two which you saw. So, yeah, there's
yeah.
not a lot.
So while
AJ's
we wait
be
for
around
AJ,
in a few seconds.
Yeah, he's going to be a little short. I don't know if you want to talk about quickly about anything that's not on the show, or just want to start with get into Walking Dead real quick.
We might as well
talk
go.
About
I mean,
Shadow
unless you have
Hunters
something to mention, we could just go into.
Nope.
Would you want me to do that first? I can do that first. That's fine.
Yeah, why don't you do Shadowhunters? Because it was back this
okay.
week, right, for its last season?
Yeah. It's back for the back half of the season and, unfortunately, the final season. And in it, they had thought that – I'll just quickly talk about it a little bit. They had thought that Clary was dead mm-hmm. because Alec – or not Alec. Oh, I'm calling him Alec. Simon blew up the apartment that Lilith was in because of his mark of Cain, and they thought that she was dead. But she's actually Jonathan had saved her, and he's got her, like, in Siberia, because if they go back, she'll be taken back to the guard. But he's obviously bad, but he's trying to get her to give him a chance to kind of not – since they don't go by the book, you don't know if maybe he really wants a chance. It's hard to tell. But she, like, pretends to be listening and then instead runs out into the snow in Siberia and ends up passing out, and he brings her back. She ends up stabbing him up through his throat, which was kind of surprising. But when she did – the same thing happened to her, so they're connected. In the book, there's kind of like this twinning thing with Jace instead, so I'm guessing that's how they changed it, but it's been a while since I read it. So that's the one part, and the other part, everybody else is mourning her, and the rest of the episode is basically about Iris wanting to take little girl Madsy back, and Magnus doesn't have magic, and he ends up getting kidnapped her, but eventually they do trick her in the end and arrest her again, so the girl's safe. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Simon's trying to find out, wants to know how to remove the mark because he doesn't trust himself since he thinks he killed Clary. So he goes to see Raphael, and that's pretty much what the episode's about. I had forgotten what happened at the end of the last season, the beginning of the season, to be honest. I had to kind of remember there, but it was pretty good. I wish that they would – I've said before, I think that there's other shows on Freeform that aren't anywhere as good as this, in my opinion, even though this isn't, you know, necessarily the best-made show. I do enjoy this show, whether it's – I still enjoy it. And I think that there's a fairly big enough fan base. I'm kind of surprised that it was that it is the last season. I guess there's always a chance of streaming, but like we said before, that's kind of what everybody says. So, but I think before I had read they were looking into it. I'm not positive, but they're just kind of wrapping it up, and I don't know how they're going to – it'll probably be different than the book.
I don't know much about the show. It could be one of those things where you know how sometimes a show – if the network owns the studio that makes the show, then it's cheaper for them to have a show that's not doing as well than a show is more expensive if the network doesn't own the studio, right? So sometimes a show that seems to be worse gets to stay, and a show that seems to be better has to go because it's more about money. But
yeah, well, a lot of – we know, though, that sometimes sci-fi shows are kind of the ones that get the boot. And, you know, honestly, Freeform isn't really – like a fantasy channel. So it's kind, there's kind of two shows they have, that and Siren, and the rest and the ones that I think are doing better are all kind of the teen drama crap. Well, I think are teen drama crap.
Yeah, like the Pretty Little Liars
Pretty Little
type
Harsh
shows.
But yeah, now, but like I said before, now they have a Pretty Little Liars spinoff and a Foster spinoff. Like, I don't know about that. I'm still watching Sirens, but I definitely don't think it's as good as Shadowhunters. I would have rather seen Shadowhunters come back. I think, though, they actually had not even given them, if I remember right, they weren't even going to give them this half the season, but they agreed to let them end it for the fans, I think. Like I said, it was a while ago, so nobody should quote me, but mm-hmm. I remember something about that. So I don't know. Hopefully it'll end up somewhere else. There's still, you know, the books to read. Those are always going to be there, and the writer has her newer series out, too. So, but obviously, you know, I want to see the show, but I'm not super surprised that it didn't last that long. I don't think it was doing very well for the network. Like I said, compared to the other shows, I'm not so sure. But then again, I don't really watch them, even though they're not really the genre I like. I haven't really seen them, so it's hard to comment. But they seem to be crappy teen dramas, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well,
in Deadly Class, but I don't have to really go into that.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The only
AJ has joined us.
Sorry. Oh, has he? Okay. Cool.
Oh, just say hi, AJ. He's joined us. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, AJ. Sorry, if I was going to say really quick because I'll forget to say at the end. I've been watching, like, trying to look for some stuff to watch. Yes, I know I should be watching the stuff I need to get caught up on instead. I know that. But I just wanted to say, because there's a show I had seen before and never saw the end of, called Hex. I think it was probably because it was on BBC and we didn't get it all the time, so the channel was like not really the channel we got. It was one of those ones that slipped to other things, and I never got to see the end. I rewatched. They didn't finish it. There's only two seasons. But if people want like a good supernatural show that's like about witches and stuff, it's pretty good. I really liked it. I was sad that they that there was only two seasons, but I liked it as much as I remembered liking it. So anyway,
oh, okay.
If you want something new to watch, that's pretty good. But I don't know if it's available to stream anywhere. I know it's on DVD. I used the TV Fairy, but because it is a UK show, but it's pretty good. So anyway, I just want to mention that.
Yeah. Okay, great.
That,
thanks.
So hi, AJ. Sorry.
Hello. No, it's fine.
So
thanks for joining us, AJ.
Yes. Sorry for running a little late tonight.
No worries.
That's right. You're entitled.
Did you want to do Walking Dead first or Passage?
Yeah, we only have three shows tonight.
Do your Walking Dread.
Walking right. Dread.
Walking
so,
Dread, yeah, that's
name. What did, so Jamie, how did you enjoy this episode?
You know, I didn't hate it. I was glad that there wasn't, and I know that's not how a show is, but I was kind of glad for once that there wasn't like a whole huge bit of drama and conflict, and that everything kind of went according to plan. I mean, I didn't think it was going to go that way, and obviously at the end you kind of know it's not going to, but I was surprised that, you know, as much went as well as it could be that Alf is like, you know, we don't want a conflict. We're not going to do anything. As long as you give me my daughter back, we won't kill your people. I'll return the two of your people for the one of mine, and that'll be fine. And that's kind of how it actually happened. And I assume, I don't know if they actually showed them walking away. I can't remember. But you were kind of to assume that it all went down okay and that they kept their promise, which you know there's something up with. I mean, you know these are bad people. Whether, even though I have not read the comic books, I wouldn't have thought that was it. I'm just kind of surprised they left. Whether or not they have a whole plan going to come back, I don't know. But I was kind of glad to find out that when they show the promo that she had, Lydia had been lying and was tricking Henry, because I said last week that even though, you know, she told how mean she was to her, I still felt like there was something she wasn't saying or that she was lying. Although it is possible, as I told you in the text, it is possible she's scared of Alpha and so she's given up Henry, or maybe she wants Alpha to think she's great because she did it. It's hard to tell without actually seeing it, but I don't know. I said from the beginning there was something about it, and it just didn't fit well. But I don't know. I kind of want to say, as much as I'm glad there wasn't like a lot of like people dying and stuff in that part. The episode was a little bit boring. I mean, the other part of the episode with the kingdom and that, I think I get that they want people to be happy and have this fair, but to me, it's really stupid to risk your life over a freaking light bulb to play movies. That's just, I was kind of like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I agree with you. So I thought it was a pretty okay episode. Maybe not as good as last week, but better than a lot of what we've seen. I thought it was pretty good, but I agree with you that it was a rather slow. So I actually looked up, checked my book. So this episode takes us right up to the end of issue 138 of the comic book, and really ends that scene at the gates of the hilltop is almost really identical to what we see in the comic book, with Alpha coming to the gate. It's a little bit different. We can talk about it a little bit more. I mean, I really agree with you. You and I have really fallen into like almost lockstep opinion on this show and everything that happens. But I thought it was okay. I enjoyed the B storyline with the kingdom. It was sort of like a something that didn't really need to happen. Like we didn't really see.
Yeah,
any,
it wasn't that
you know,
it was bad,
like,
and I don't never mind seeing Carol.
Yeah,
kind of was dumb
yeah.
that they did that. Now let me ask you a question
yeah.
though, because I was lost during part of it. When exactly was that flashback supposed to take place? Because I got that it was a flashback. At first, I didn't. I think it was further back than I thought, but I don't think it was the whole 6 years. I was confused whether or not all of those kids, there was like I think three kids, if they were all Jerry's
yeah.
or if two of them had been hers and just the baby was his, because obviously they had, which I thought they just cut Carol's hair because people complained, but Carol's hair was like, you know, shoulder length or whatever. So it was somewhere in between, I guess, supposed to tell you, which would have at least been a few years. But I don't know. I would wish they would say something,
yeah.
you know, X amount of years ago, because that irritates me, because I can't keep track of it when they do that.
I mean, it appears to be.
Live, so we know it was a while ago,
so,
but not in this place.
Yeah,
years.
I mean, you can tell the flashback by Carol's hair, for sure. I think it was not that long after the... So at the time of Rick's death, Michonne was still writing the charter. And she
right.
seems to have finished the charter and then set it aside for whatever reason for some certain amount of time. So it's got to be about a year. So I'll tell you what, I have a friend who had a pixie haircut and she grew it out. I just saw her and she said, yeah, it's been 1 year. And so my friend's hair grew like maybe not quite as long as Carol's in a year. So let's say it's been at least a year, but maybe not 2 years? I don't know.
Well, he had a baby. We know that. She went from 8 weeks pregnant to having a baby, at least. So I guess
I think
the other
they had three kids.
Then. That's what
I think. I think the total time
oh,
jump
you're saying
is...
the rest of the 6 years was okay. So it was sometime
yes.
in the middle. I get that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. So you see Jerry say that the wife is 8 weeks pregnant, and then we come back up to the current timeline, and they seem to have three kids, and the oldest looks to be about... I don't know, at least 4 years old, right?
Yeah, see, what confuses me is that they jumped the 6 years after Rick's death, but
yeah.
they must have jumped some more time, though, because the stuff with them planning, although I guess we didn't see the whole planning of the fair before, we just saw when they were near done the fair, so
yeah.
we don't really know how
yeah.
long that took, but I don't know. Yeah, but there's
yeah.
at least been a few years that passed in the meantime. But I don't know. It was kind of left vague. The only thing you can really tell, like I said, is about Carol's hair. I just would rather them just say, you know, this was X amount of time ago for people like me.
I mean,
I'd rather
I,
know
I,
because I get confused.
I don't really. I mean, they're using Carol's hair is your time marker, and her hair looks great. I thought, and she should go back to that hair. But
I don't know about that.
I mean,
it is now.
I enjoyed the whole storyline. I agree with you that they're taking a great risk to get a bulb, and Ezekiel knows it, and that's why he didn't tell Carol, right? Like, he tells Carol one thing about where they're going, and then they get there, and it turns out that he wants this bulb, and everybody's in
and
on
Jerry
it, but they
drops
haven't told Carol.
Like, sure, let's go risk our lives a second time for this bulb. I figured the
well, I mean,
walked on it by then.
They're already
the
there. They're already there.
Yeah.
I guess. So I think Carol figures they're already there, and also like she sort of bought into Ezekiel's idea that they
well,
need
yeah,
to like bring a little
morale.
Civilization and Yeah, I mean, so Ezekiel, that's his main thing. I feel like Ezekiel prancing around, I can't believe that after 6 years he's still talking like
a
Shakespearean king.
I know, I thought of that.
But, like, that's his thing. He's a total PR and morale man, and, like, his thing is sort of making people, like, feel good or whatever. And, I mean, I agree with you, it's a huge risk, particularly with, I mean, I've noticed in the last few weeks how everyone's always saying it's not safe to be outside the gate. We've got to get inside. They're very reluctant to be outside the gate, which is a little surprising in a lot of ways,
kind of
right? These are very capable people.
Yeah, I feel, though, like it kind of goes back a little bit to what Enid said at the end of the episode, though, that I think she said Carl had said something about, like, like it's not living if you're or whatever. Like they're not if you're just surviving, it's not necessarily living. And I think that's kind of like what Ezekiel's about. Like he wants to give them a good life so they're not constantly in fear and everything. So I kind of get that, but you know, I think after it failed the first time, maybe they should have left. But they get it, so they're happy and everything goes well with that.
I mean, I enjoyed that whole storyline partly because. Like, it was kind of fun. Like, we can't just have a show that's always, like, full of horror and violence and depression every week, right?
Yeah,
so it was a little bit fun. I think they were having a little more fun with music. I mean, I've noticed that they've changed the way they use music on the show since the new showrunner took over, but this was a particular departure music-wise. I got to tell you, I'm really worried about Jerry. I think Jerry's going to die. And,
I know.
And,
like, you can't kill Jerry. That's like the Glenn now.
You can't kill Jerry, but, and let me tell you, Jerry's not in the comic book, so I'm not basing this on anything other than Jerry's too happy and stuff is too good for him, and they keep focusing on, like, Jerry's good life, and I feel like we're going to have some more deaths before the end of the season, and I feel like Jerry might be on the chopping block. He's so happy, and he's got all these kids and a wife, and
I can't remember if it was Jerry or Ezekiel said something about, like, that everything was going well. And I'm thinking, don't say that. You never say that, you know? Yeah, I know, I am too. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, obviously, was the baby. So I'm getting annoyed by babies in television. Everybody knows this. But,
okay, so wait. So you mean when, so, and AJ... this
not,
doesn't happen in the comic book, so
Jerry's
in case AJ's
too.
Listening, you mean the Whisperer baby.
Yes. Yeah. So one of them has a baby that starts crying and brings in all the walkers, and, like, they look to her like, what are they supposed to do? And she just gives them this look like, well, do something. I thought they were going to suffocate it. I mean, to me, putting it on the ground was kind of dangerous. Sorry, go ahead, AJ.
AJ, have you heard about the scene, AJ?
Not until just now. Here's my question.
Okay, so
what is it?
Yeah.
What is it? My question is simple. What is it with these creators and writers and stuff that think throwing a baby into the mix that is a good idea? Like,
you've got me.
They didn't kill. They don't kill Judith, and then we deal with Judith, who almost got them killed 500 times.
And then Maggie has a baby.
The Whisperers have a baby. But the Whisperers have. All right, but see, you know what?
Yeah, but AJ, let me explain this
Maggie
to you.
Makes
AJ,
sense.
Let me tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me tell you about
the
baby.
Baby isn't really.
So when Alpha comes, just as in the comic book, when Alpha comes to the gates of Hilltop to demand her daughter back, she's with a crowd of Whisperers that are all wearing the masks, and one of them has a baby, and the baby begins to cry, and it's attracting walkers. And Alpha basically says, you have to kill the baby. I mean, she doesn't say it, but, like, no one makes a move to help the baby, and the Whisperer woman puts the baby on the ground and walks away from it so that the walkers can just eat the baby. And Daryl's like, what are you doing? Like, that's a baby. And Alpha says, well, if the baby can't be quiet, the walkers will silence it. We can't all risk ourselves. She says the walkers will quiet it down. It's natural selection, is what she says.
Wouldn't
it
have been less cruel and easier
okay,
to
I'm good now.
Suffocate
Never mind.
The baby? That's just my, like,
well,
it seems like big production. It was to make a point.
Yeah, the point is to show how horrible Alpha is. And how terrified of her all her people are that that a mother would, like, sacrifice a baby to die without even ever challenging Alpha at all, right? She doesn't even say, like, no, Alpha, it's my baby. She just silently puts the baby on the ground. I think it was to really show how horrible Alpha is and the ironclad. So, JJ, that baby, so what happens is, I mean, in a really awesome scene that might have been the best scene of the whole episode and one of the best scenes of the year, that baby ends up getting rescued, and ends up getting taken into the hilltop, and the people that get the baby, that's the blacksmith couple that helped Gregory, the guy that helped Gregory try to kill Maggie.
Mm-hmm. And that their kid died.
That's who takes the baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
To raise.
So I don't know that we're going to necessarily see the baby a lot. And I know it was to give a point, but yeah, but
yeah.
I think that the fact that Connie goes out and rescues it, I think was good. That I noticed though, they didn't ask for it back. I kind of expected they'd at least like ask for it back. But no, they don't care. She just wants her daughter back, which is why I don't think she wants her daughter back, because she loves her daughter. So,
well, I think Alpha doesn't care, but yeah.
I felt good about it until you said the hilltop people took the baby. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, but I agree.
Use the baby for a good thing.
I agree with Jane that we're not going to see much of that baby, and the hilltop is full of kids now. It's been 6 years, and they're like, Jamie and I were texting today, and we talked about how one kid on a show is annoying, but, like, if there's so many kids that they're just background and they don't have to all be characters, that's, I'm great with that. Like, people have families and there are kids around, but they're
not in the main part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay when one's part of the storyline, but when they're just, like, annoying and they're just there to get them, the not walkers to notice them, it's kind of... Like they had the scene, now that's good. We'll be done. Same thing with Jerry's kids. I mean, we didn't really see them, so it was fine. It's just like, oh, Jerry had kids. The end. You know, we're fine with that.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Henry helps Lydia, which I think everybody expected because he has no brain. I mean, I understand why he did it. I'm not trying to be, you know, heartless. Obviously, she has a bad mother that beat her.
No, he's a freaking moron. He's a total
idiot. But he is an idiot.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Who should be a lot smarter to start.
Is Darrow at first was like, no, we'll fight you. But then he knows they have a baby and he knows they have their people. So he's like, you know, he wants to protect her, but he can't protect her at the risk of, you know, killing Alden and,
Darrow?
His name. The guy, yeah. He can't, like,
whatever.
Risk
Alden and Luke.
Saving her for Alden and the guy from Fantastic Beasts
Luke.
That I never remember.
Luke. His name is
Luke.
His name is Luke.
Yeah, okay. Yes. So he agrees to it because he did kind of agree fast, but I mean, it was common sense, but, you know, then they had that girl come in who's like a red shirt that I think we've seen like 5 seconds on screen before that comes to give him the message that Henry left again, which was so unsurprising. Cause again, he's stupid. So it's like now doesn't he realize now he has to make Darrow go rescue him, so now he's causing more problems. Like, the kid just no brains. But, was surprising.
I find it... So, this storyline goes to Carl in the comic book, and Carl also does, like, immediately, like, sort of, like, take to Lydia and believe her and say, I think she's a good person. But it's a little more in character for Carl, and also Carl doesn't...
doesn't do it as blindly, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, he does, yeah, but he doesn't play in the comic book the way Henry plays, like, an enormous moron in this show. And
that's
it's and that Henry, who is the daughter, he's the child of Carol and Ezekiel. Like, Carol is one, I'm sure this badass woman raised him to be a little more wary of people. And that he immediately, like, well, and they also, like, play Henry like a petulant crybaby who's like,
what,
Darrow?
But, yeah.
I mean, but he's sassing, you know, he's, like, whining at Darrow, and he's not. I mean, Carl has a similar storyline in that, you know, Carl gets in a fight and is locked in the cell next to her, and he meets her, and he comes back to visit her, and he does let her out, and they walk around together.
Well, I think the thing is, there's nothing wrong with wanting to save somebody and fighting even to protect her. What is the problem is that they're threatening to kill their other people, which are more important than her, you know? Like, if they didn't have their people, then yes, Darrow would have fought to keep her there, and Henry would have been okay. But, you know, it's just, you can't, like, ignore your own people for that.
Yeah, I mean, it plays a little better in the book because Carl has sex with her that day that he lets her out and they, like, hang out together. Carl has sex with her. for like the first time he's had sex. And actually they play it up in the storyline that Carl's kind of interested in girls and he's got this like little kind of girlfriend that he sends a letter to and whatever. And so he ends up having sex with Lydia, and so it kind of plays that you can understand more why he's like, no, you can't send her back, can't send her back. And when they're at the gate,
5 minutes.
When they're at the gate and sending her away, Maggie's like, come on, Carl, you met her for one day. Like, stop being, like, she's got to go. Like, we can't let our people get killed. This is exactly what Daryl and Tara know it. They can't let their people get killed for this girl. Even Alpha says it's a good trade, like, two years for one of mine.
Which it is. That's what I said. It was a little too fair. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, this is going too well. The shit's going to be fans soon.
Now, we have this added thing in the show that, you know, Lydia's covered in these bruises and has clearly been beaten. In the comic book, she lets on to Carl some type of abuse she's been having, I don't want to talk about it, about their conversation or whatever in case it comes to play, but she's not covered in bruises and they don't say, oh, clearly someone's been beating you the way Daryl does. Of course, we don't have this character, you know, Daryl has a history of abuse, and so, but the scene plays out almost word for word when she says, like, you don't come in my area, no conflict. You give me my daughter, no conflict. I thought Samantha Morton was awesome in that scene. She's super scary, right?
Yeah, and she's got, like, crap all over her face, even though the mask is off, which makes it creepier. It's like, do they not care, or, like, did she do that to be creepy, or is it, like, blood from the inside of the walker?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
My question is, though, okay, well, we first of all know that there's going to be another conflict when Ezekiel and Carol cross that sign, which, no, I don't know what it is, but it's pretty obvious it's means Alpha, means don't go here. So my question is, though, she's like, you're in my territory, but yet she doesn't tell them what she considers her territory. So that part is like, I would think they would have asked, but at the same time, you know they're going to probably go to war over just that anyway because they need – well, I guess they wouldn't have to, though. They have their food there. They more venture out for other things. But she, like, doesn't exactly say what they did wrong. She's just like, I don't care. Just give her back, you know? She didn't. I would think, like, after she left, she would have been like, no, listen, this is what you can't do. But she didn't, which it makes it obvious, you know, it's not over. But because it went a little too far.
Yeah. It did. And I think that, I think you're right. She doesn't really say like any of that. Like it's all sort of like up in the air. We were more focused on, you know, this episode was more concerned about making her to be like a big, bad, evil person. I mean, I think that baby business was kind of to show that how she's even worse than Negan or the governor, because I don't think the governor would, you know, Negan or the okay, she's not worse than the cannibal people, whatever they were called. But killing a baby is like Negan wouldn't kill a baby.
It's kind of like killing a baby or a dog. You don't do that. More so the dog. They kill the dog. I'm quitting watching. Keep threatening.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, it was kind of like just to show you. I know that there was a point. It would have been easier.
Yeah. I mean, so how did you like the whole part with Connie? So AJ, in the show, this woman Connie is deaf, and she, because of a long convoluted stupid reason from last week, she's hiding in the cornfield, and she's able to rescue this baby. But that whole sequence, Jamie, with like Connie in the cornfield, and there's no sound, right? Like she's deaf, and they cut the sound, so you hear it.
I like
her.
How they did that, and I like that she found out because Luke is sneaking and like signing her from behind his back. Because she has no idea what's going on. But I think in the long run, I mean, I know she wanted to save the baby, but I don't know that it was the smartest thing because it's crying. She can't hear it. She can't hear they're coming. And that's why I kind of, in a way, feel like I get that she wanted to go with Daryl, but is she really going to be a lot of help? Because I feel like to some extent he's got to watch after her. I mean, he could not, but I feel like she can't be complete help because she can't hear. And I feel like is that a handicap more than helping. I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to be,
I don't know.
I understand she can fight in that. I mean, being deaf doesn't mean she can't, but in the world of where there's zombies and you have to be quiet, it's kind of hard if you can't hear when they're coming is kind of what I'm saying.
Well,
like, I don't know that that would.
Their whole thing is that they're the whisperers and the only way you can tell them from the zombies is when you hear them whispering.
Right. Well, see, not in the show. And so they stab him in the leg, and if they yell, there's all
yeah.
a Daryl's
yeah.
way. But yeah,
which
but
actually,
I think
yeah.
that seems cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Now Daryl's got more problems with Daryl because of Henry. He just made it worse. So annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I do. So, you know, there are people already shipping Connie and Daryl.
Really?
Because she's kind of badass. Well, she's kind of.
I don't.
Because
see that.
She's
I
badass.
Still ship him at Carol.
And, well, I mean, you can just
I
give
know,
up on
gonna
him
happen,
and Carol.
But I'm allowed. No,
she's
I
married to Ezekiel. But Connie's cool and she's powerful and she's not held back by her disability.
Yes.
And she's the only person who's going to go with him, right? She's like, I'm going with you. It's wrong. Other people are wrong and saying, you know, I think it was right what Daryl said to Henry, which was like, look, it's wrong to send Lydia back, but you just got to live with it. Sometimes shit is wrong and you just got to live with it. But he can't
yeah,
live with
like
it, and Connie can't live with it. So people are shipping
yeah.
them. People who have
well,
moved on
Daryl
from Carol and Daryl.
Either, though, because he went after...
yeah. He can't, yeah.
I don't know. I just never really saw her as like a love interest for him. I don't know. I haven't really like necessarily
no.
liked the new people all that much. Maybe Magna.
I mean,
and,
nobody.
I think
so Jamie,
I keep
nobody,
forgetting his name, Luke.
Nobody saw it, I think, until that moment. And in that moment, when they go off
oh,
together,
so
people are like, oh, maybe.
That moment.
Maybe it may. Yeah. Yeah. Only since that
I
moment.
Thought you
people
meant
have, like.
Okay.
And maybe they have been, but what. What I've seen online is that people just like this week were like, oh, maybe that makes sense. Yeah, let's ship them.
Okay.
So it's a new ship.
Want somebody to ship in a show, I'll be honest.
Well, that's true also.
I feel like people
yeah.
are always looking for that. I mean, I'm bad, though, because I half the time am, too. I can't lie, but I feel like in this show you don't really, I don't know, like, I don't necessarily care about that. Like, I like Daryl and Carol, but other than that, I'm kind of like, that's not what this show's about, so I'm not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But.
And as soon as
yeah,
someone's
I
happy,
mean,
they die, so don't ship them.
Yeah, yeah, in this show, you want to be careful. I think
yeah.
about that. All right.
So, anyhow. Anyway,
so,
it was
decent,
pretty decent this week.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's a little slow. But,
so,
okay, well, you want to move on to the passage?
Yeah, let's talk about the passage and bring AJ in here. And, in fact, AJ, why don't you go first since you haven't been able to talk at all for, like, half an hour. So talk about the passage, AJ.
All right. Well, I liked what they did with crap. With Brad's backstory with his daughter.
Brad's last.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I liked that because it was different, you know? You know, usually it's a car accident or something, you know, I mean, I didn't see that. I mean, I saw it coming once it was transpiring, but I didn't see them going and killing his daughter in such a manner,
no.
you know, him spiraling
mm-hmm.
the way he did and shooting the guy and everything. So I thought it was definitely a nice, unique and different story on TV because, you know, we get bogged. I mean, we watch a lot of TV. And we've kind of gotten bogged down with the same old tropes time and time and time again. So it was nice to see something different for a change.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the other thing, I just want to comment on that, though, something that when you said it made me think of. I also like the conversation between Brad and Lila to do with that, where he's blamed himself. And obviously it wasn't his fault. I mean, like in all these stories, they blame themselves. But it wasn't his fault.
Right.
But I like how she's kind of like, you know, you're blaming yourself. Did you ever think about what if I had been there? What if I hadn't done this? And it's like he's so wrapped up in the blame that he obviously is kind of like, what? I never thought of that. And I just think it was kind of interesting for her to say, you know, look at this from my side. I'm just as much to blame as you are, but
yeah,
really
I like
neither
that
of us
too.
Are. And so, yeah, I thought that conversation was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Although
I
don't get why they went back
spot.
Into the car trunk at the end. That's the one part. It's like they're willingly going back. Did he have to really shove him back in the trunk?
Yes,
I guess
so.
Oh, yeah,
like
so they can pass through the gates. That's how they get through
yeah.
the gates back into Project Noah and Clark's
Nobody
car.
Nobody knows they're there.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought
nobody
they all
knows.
Wanted them to bring them back, so I didn't really.
No,
well, no, I guess that's not true.
There.
They wanted to get rid of them because they were going to kill
because,
them.
Because, yeah, because Clark isn't supposed to even, you know, nobody knows Clark went out and found him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
as
well,
far as they're concerned, he's dead.
I can't remember if they told us, but I kind of assumed that. That was people that Gilderson,
yes.
the head guy that's now, okay. I can't remember if they
yeah.
outright said, but I assumed that. All right. Although that other guy kind of swam back in the water. He, like, pushes him off the edge and, like, did he survive? Did he fall too far? I think of weird things and notice weird things when I'm watching it.
So, Jamie, did you enjoy the episode, too?
Yeah, I did. And I liked and was kind of surprised that Elizabeth said no. I think they did it so you were kind of confused because she shakes her head yes, and you think that it's when she's talking to Fanning, and it was when she was talking to him, and, you know, she makes that choice, and I think that's good. I think it's going to be hard for him, but I don't know. I'm kind of more worried about, like, how everything's going to go down if, like, they're being blocked out. Apparently he hasn't fired apparently Gilder hasn't fired him yet, which I don't really think he should fire either of them, because whether they agree with him or not, at least they're, like, understand the science. Nobody else is going to know what the hell's going on if they come in. But the thing about rotating the guards, it's like, this guy is an ass, but that's, like, the smartest thing that nobody did anything about. Yeah, we're going to rotate the guards so they can't be brainwashed. Like, should have thought of that a long time ago.
So I enjoyed it also, like you guys. I mean, through much of the episode, I was thinking, like, I didn't really need that whole flashback of how the daughter died. Like they could have in one sentence said, like, oh, when our daughter was shot in the hole, you know, like, I haven't been wondering how she died very much, except, like, once in a while I've been like, oh, I wonder how she died, but it's not a thing that seemed relevant, and so I felt like I was waiting for that, but when I watched it, I liked it.
I feel the same way. The only reason wondered was because Mark Paul talked about it a little bit, very, very, you know, not telling what happened, but talked about it when I talked to him, and that was kind of the only reason I wondered, too, but I agree with you. Like, once you saw it, it's good. That's why I've said before, like, I expect to want more of the action, but the stuff that I get that isn't that, I'm enjoying, and it doesn't bother me at the moment to be like, oh, they're not moving that part of the story as fast. Not that they're not moving it fast, but I'm, like, not really thinking about it while I'm watching it, so.
Well, and it does also explain, so I guess I had thought, like, maybe she got sick and died of cancer, the kid, or whatever, however she died, but it does help to explain, like, one of the curious things about this show, and one of the harder things for me to really get behind is what's the agent's name? Brad. Is Brad's, like, real devotion to Amy and his need to rescue Amy and his need to save Amy has been a little bit, like, over the top than just guilt about kidnapping her. And so that whole flashback kind of helped me understand and to accept that better, why he so has to save this kid, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it helps you,
it also
you guys were worried about that
bit.
Also.
No, I agree with you, but I also think that it gave me a little bit more insight, too, into why he joined back up with them when they were bad and kept doing this. It's like he needed, because they make a point of Lila, about Lila, you know, going back to work and everything. I think that he needed something to get into to, you know, kind of not replace her, but you know what I mean, so he could move on. And it's like he gave him this job, and that's why he kind of stuck with it rather than just be like, nah, this is crap. Like, it helped him through it in a way, if that makes any sense. Or at least, not necessarily losing her, but helped him through the fact he killed the guy and all that stuff. That was why he took the job. Plus, he saved him, too. I mean, Richards obviously was like, yeah, I know you killed him, but I warned you not to. You did it anyway, but it's okay. We'll fix it. But, you know, government people, so they can do that.
We say this a lot with a lot of the shows we watch. You know, we get the flashback we didn't know we needed or wanted. And it was good in a lot of ways because it gave us some insight into Clark, too. You know, we know that they were in the military together and everything, but you don't really think about it. So them talking about it, though, and seeing the friendship between them, and then it just later on when he catches up with them and saves them from the guy that had the gun on them, Brad's still suspicious of them, and he's like, I realize now that this place is not good. He's like, you know, he's like, remember the mission comes first, you know? And it just kind of, it helped to believe that, you know, Clark is
now. I wasn't sure before he was really going to help.
Know,
I believe
on their side.
Now he wants to. Although I guess he knows that he doesn't want to follow Shauna. He just kind of got a little wrapped up in that. Because, yeah,
right.
I kind of was wondering, too, as much as last week, he's like, I'll help you guys get out. Like, I didn't know if I believed him, but I believe him now. So I think it did serve that purpose, too.
Yeah, I think it served a lot of purposes. It made,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes we can be told things, but when we see it, it makes it that much clearer.
Yeah,
and
connects the emotion to it.
Just kind of, it gives them, you know, more when you can visually see things and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how traumatized Brad was and, you know, seeing them in the coupling therapy and everything, you get it more now. However, one thing that I'm confused about, when we first meet Lila, he's on the phone with her, and he asks about some guy, and she's like, oh, we're engaged. She doesn't act like a woman who loves somebody else and was engaged to them. Like, I almost wonder if it's like she was talking about the cat or the dog or something, and they just forgot to tell us that it was a joke. Like, I'm,
because she doesn't,
you know, like, I mean, it was, you know, it was like, how's Bob, you know, and it was, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think she never quit loving him. I think just they couldn't be together happened. That happens a lot of times on TV shows. I don't know if it happens in real life, but people split up when they lose a child. And so I don't think, either of them ever quit. So they're kind of,
and
like,
I get
that,
but.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. You know, they should have mentioned him at some point.
Even if she does still love him, there's got to be some kind of something.
Like,
from
why did
you know
I do this
mean?
To him, or I should call him? Or
no, well, I should probably call my fiancé and tell him it's over, or I should call my fiancé and, you know, something. It's just,
tell
it's
him
kinda,
I'm not dead,
so,
you know.
Yeah.
So I forgot that she was engaged probably 1 second after she made that statement. Like, thank you, AJ, for reminding me, because I totally forgot that she's allegedly engaged. And they don't act at all like, she doesn't act at all like
she should
be concerned about.
Maybe he said it to make him jealous. I can't remember if they ever showed him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. That's crazy. It does look like Clark, it does look like, you know, everyone who previously was like a villain is now like sort of like on Brad's side and is realizing like this is messed up. And Project Noah's, you know, was totally a bad idea from the jump. I thought this was maybe a little slow on the story side, because we didn't really get much action inside Project Noah. We also had this whole big Elizabeth and Fanning thing, which I gotta tell you, I'm a little, so I'm not surprised that Elizabeth chose to say no to Fanning, because Elizabeth, from the minute we met her, has been saying, Jonas, stop. I have a disease. Let me just die. Like, don't go to South America and look for a cure. Don't set up projects. Like, she's been saying all along,
I guess he would force her somehow. Not that I thought she wouldn't.
That's why he's a big asshole for, like, he's not listening to her at the, like, up until almost the moment of her death. He like, you know, when I'm dying, I want the people around me to respect my wishes and listen to me. And my husband, who supposedly, like, is supposed to care about me, should be listening to me about the way I want to die. And not, like, just, like, I mean, it's so offensive to me that the way this man is, like, just running roughshod over her wishes for the entire season so far. And it doesn't surprise me that in the end she would be like, no, come on, let me go. And then he finally does, right? Finally, at the last minute. But it does surprise me if she chose Jonas and chose Noah and just died, like, why did we have to spend so much time for her to not get turned? I also was surprised that we saw basically no reaction from Fanning and he moved immediately to Amy. Which made me think this whole time that he's like, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I have to be with you and all this, was just lying to get her to turn. Because I kind of expected that when she died, when she said, you know, to unhook me from the machines and let me die, that we would see, like, I thought we'd see this, like, really dramatic scream from him or some sort of, like, show of displeasure. And we just got a close-up of his eyes. which you couldn't even really tell because he wears those contacts. And then immediately he's on to Amy. So I don't believe he loved her. I think he was just trying to get... Now, we don't know the significance of needing 12 people, but he seems to need 12 vampires to do whatever he needs to do. And
I think maybe
was like,
before
okay,
he became a vampire, he loved her. But I don't think, after the fact,
I don't know.
He probably ever cared. I think you're right.
I don't think he loves anyone except himself, quite frankly.
Yeah,
what do you think, AJ? What did you think about all that?
To answer one of your questions, I think the point of Elizabeth is... for Lear. I think she's a tool. She's there to serve the purpose of his character. It's for us.
Yeah.
We're supposed to see his growth of letting, the love of his life die like that,
mm-hmm.
And as far as, and I know you don't like stuff like this to begin with, but he's an egotistical doctor. I don't think it would have really mattered, man or woman, just in this case with this show, it was a man. Egotistical doctors are egotistical, period. but that's what I think. And I disagree with the Fanning part. I think Fanning was really – I think he was distraught. I think you were expecting a certain reaction, and when you didn't get it, you maybe didn't see what I saw, which is – even though they only show, they show us Fanning just staring off into space, both as the vampire and in his head,
Mm-hmm.
I think it was another egotistical person, I think it was complete disbelief, and he's very charismatic, so a complete disbelief that she would turn down eternity with him, that she chose death over being with him. And he just had this very forlorn look on his face of disbelief. At least that's how I took it when I saw it.
I can accept that. It's interesting to me how when it was time for Carter to die, like it was such a much more violent and dramatic thing where his like temperature is rising and they're trying to save him. His temperature is 100 degrees. There's all this drama, the serum. And we see Fanning really saying to him, come on, just close your eyes. You can do it. Choose me, blah, blah, blah. And then Elizabeth had a much more peaceful
kind of... Maybe it's because he was
trying
to live more than, like, just accepting it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, he did not want to agree, but he wanted to live more than he wanted to get away from Fanning was kind of the... You know what I mean? Like, that was seductive, so it was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is kind of like, I give up. But, yeah, I agree. I think it's cool the way they kind of juxtapose that.
Yeah. And then we were very slow on the Amy side. So we had all this, like, Amy talking to that... the worst character on the show is that new guy who's in charge of Project Noah. I don't know why they made him so...
Yeah.
I mean
he
kind of
calls him on, though,
Amy,
about his funny little mustache or something. Like, he's so typical villain.
She said something... She called it, like, your creepy mustache. But they also give him, like, a weird wardrobe and a weird accent and a weird... Like, he's just, like, weird. I don't know why they've given him so many, like, weird character tics. And he's so obviously evil. Like, what did you say last week, Jamie? He might as well be twirling his mustache.
Obvious,
And that was very slow. And then Amy, so that dream sequence with Amy's mother, I mean, so we know that Amy has powers that are a little bit different, but I couldn't figure out, is that her imagination? Or is that, like,
it's a memory.
Fanning? Is it Carter? Like, it's not a memory
it's
after
like
her mother.
Well, no, it's like Carter could go visit his grandmother.
Well,
she goes to visit her mother. I thought it was just kind of like a dream-made-real kind of.
Oh, that's right.
It's not a memory. She's imagining being able to apologize to her mother after hurting her feelings, right?
Yeah, because that's what she needed, I feel like.
And even the mother says, like, don't answer that door, and Amy says, no, I have to. So I guess it's like Amy processing, like, Carter's advice.
Yeah, it's like a mind warring with herself.
It could be one of two things, then, because Fanning's at the door. So it could either be just her imagination and what she wants to hear, or it could be Carter.
Yeah.
I think he just had the same power as Carter. I mean, I think he made her accept it, obviously, to help her process it when he was mean.
When did
Carter
visit his grandmother? Carter doesn't have that power. I don't remember what you're...
When he
talked
to
his grandmother.
When he told Brad that he had to protect Amy, he was at like a cottage with his dead grandma.
Was? I don't remember that.
Yeah. But I think he was mean to her to get her to process it, but I think that was just her own power, like processing it.
I think
broke into it.
I think part of Carter being kind of mean to her was he was playing a little bit of devil's advocate because that's how Fanning's going
to
treat her. You know, like if you
think
this is bad,
mm-hmm.
he even says, if you think this is bad, you know, wait till Fanning gets a hold of you type of thing.
Yeah, and he wanted her to get over it so she wouldn't kind of be like he was, so much alone feeling that she took the offer. He's like, you know, you can't, because he admits he did it to him.
So that was kind of interesting to me, actually, that Carter was able to come to her and say, like, watch out for Fanning. Like, he's terrible. You got us away from him. Because the other vampires that we've met seem to be fully in Fanning's thrall. And I didn't really, it surprised me that Carter was able to act behind Fanning's back and to actively, like, you know, like it. I kind of figured once you turned, you were into it. And he's not into it.
Yeah, I think I was the one that mentioned that before that confused me, too. I guess it's that the other ones, because they were bad people, were, like, okay with doing it, I guess. And that's the only thing I can remember.
He's
still fighting it because he's got more of his own mind. Because also he was younger, so maybe he's got more of his own free will. I don't know, because I had mentioned that the other week, I think, when we talked about it. Because I thought the same thing.
I think it's partly because the others want to be a part of it. So, you know, they're not trying to fight him, whereas Carter is telling Fanning, yeah, I'm in. And at the same time, he's...
Plus, technically,
you know,
that other guy fought it. I mean, he didn't go to the other side, but he left, you know, and went out to that cabin and ignored Fanning when he told him not to go.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think
anybody
can
ignore
Fanning.
But that's because he's a psycho killer who just couldn't resist going to kill people.
Right, but the other ones are
like,
we can get out of here if we follow him, I guess.
It wasn't because he didn't agree with Fanning's...
No, it was just because he didn't want to listen and he wanted to do what he wanted to do.
He's unable to resist his impulse to kill, is what that was
too.
About.
That too.
My
question, though,
killer.
Is, like, he died. A lot of the other experiments died. I don't understand this 12 thing. It must be once they turn, regardless of what happens to them, they're still part of it. That kind of confused me. Because I know there's not 12 of them alive, right? Or there're totally more of them that I didn't realize weren't dead.
Yeah, there's totally more of them. There might not be. Yeah, there's totally more of them that just aren't characters. Like there're more. We've seen more people in those cells, sort of in passing, but they're not characters.
Right. I still didn't think there were 12 though. I thought that they were the only ones that survived. Was the ones that we knew about. Maybe not. I know a lot of them died in the beginning, but.
No,
I
think we've sort of seen them.
Definitely implied there were 12, though. I was confused. And I didn't think that we saw them. I agree. I thought we saw them in passing, but I couldn't remember for sure.
Yeah.
But he died, so I would think there's 11 or 10.
Yeah.
Now. I don't know. Maybe there was 12,
so,
but he died.
So at the end of the episode, did you guys get the little promo that said there's only 1 week left before the 2-hour season finale?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 3 hours.
Right.
So this was, I think, week 7, and we'll get 8, and then 9, 10 will be a 2-hour. So I feel like, prediction theories right now for me is that this takes us right up to the escape when, like, everyone breaks out, and maybe next season we'll focus more on, like, being outside Project Noah. I'm a little, feeling a little constrained by this environment, and I'm not sure what else can really happen inside this environment except the vampires escape, right? Like, clearly Project Noah goes to shit and everyone escapes. What else could really
You've
happen
here? You've
been bored
with Project Noah for a while, so.
Well, I mean, because there's not really that much they can do inside there, right? They kind of set it all up. They're a bunch of idiots.
I agree.
Obviously, these two new... Obviously, okay, you know who's definitely going to have to die? You know that guy? Okay, so Mustache Man has his new deputy guy who's, like, talking about all his brilliant security plans.
Yeah.
So clearly, that all is going to be a big mistake that will go bad, and that guy will be killed. He's got red shirt practically written across his forehead.
Yeah.
I mean, not a true red shirt. He's got a name, but...
Yeah.
But I feel like Even Mustache Man, he's so creepy. Like, how could any kid not be terrified of that man?
I don't know. And he seems to think she believes him, which is hilarious, I think. Right? She just doesn't get it. She's like, hey, I know you're lying. He just looks at her like, I'm going to pretend I'm not. Like, dude, she totally knows it. She's not that dumb.
Yeah.
But
well, one thing this show is playing, they're playing really well. I mean, that young actress is so good. And
yeah,
one thing they're playing really well is like when adults talk down to a kid like that and they think they're being like so, like, you know, they're like, and the kid totally knows
clever.
It and the adult, you know, yeah. They think they're being clever and that they're like snowing this kid and the kid totally knows it. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious that he has no experience with children and thinks he can play a kid and they're doing that well.
Especially one that can sometimes read minds. You would think that you'd maybe try not to lie as much. But, you know.
He's hilarious.
He's like,
he's always
left to go home on purpose. Like, yeah, right? You should have just said something happened to him. She would have been more likely to believe it.
Well, he's always like, why would you say that, Amy? Can you read my mind?
Yeah.
You know, he's always
like,
oh,
like,
can you
really
read my
matter?
Mind?
She knows you're lying. Yeah.
Because she can't read. Like, you both know she can read your mind. Anyway, maybe I don't know if there's too much to talk about it this week.
Yeah,
I think that's
about it. I think it was pretty good. So, all right. So we have just the gifted to talk about. Jamie, do you have any other things, announcements or anything?
Because
I usually jump off before AJ and I.
I don't think so. Roswell was on tonight. Like I said, I haven't seen it yet. Like I said, I'm still watching Magicians in Deadly Class. And, you know, I just got to say.
You're still watching Deadly Class, Jamie?
Yeah, and I am surprised.
Why are you watching
that
Deadly
I really
Class?
Like it. Well, I told you, the first episode made absolutely no point to me. But after that, other than the part where he was in his, like, LSD dream for the whole episode, I actually kind of like a lot of it because it's about, like, the kind of the whole thing is about these kids that have dealt with all this crap that, you know, come from bad home lives or really bad things are happening to them or that they can't, you know, their parents want them bad, whatever. It's just kind of, I don't know, interesting the way that they deal with it and that you find out that, you know, 90% of them, well, at least 90% of the main characters, I shouldn't say all of them, but that they aren't really what they pretend to be, you know, and it's a lot about them kind of overcoming that and getting through all the bad things. Like the one kid, has Marcus help him kill his father because he's always beating up him and his mother and his little brother's there. Like, it's things like that. Like, maybe, yeah, he killed somebody, but it wasn't bad that he killed. Well, I mean, not that you can just kill somebody for that, but you know what I mean. Like, they're not anything you expect. And I don't know. I just like it. It's kind of interesting. It's definitely not what it was
like
the first episode.
I feel like killing people is rarely the appropriate response, but.
No, I know. But I just mean it's not like it's just randomly killing. For the most part, it's not like it was in the first episode. Like, your assignment is to go kill somebody. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And it's also kind of how they, a lot of it's about, like, peer pressure and cliques and, I don't know. And it's 80s. It's kind of, I don't know. It's just kind of cool. It's different.
All right. You keep watching
Alrighty.
It. I can't.
Yep. No, that's okay. I know. It's kind of either like it or you don't. Okay. Well, I will talk to you guys soon. Thanks for everybody who's listening and. Talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good week.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye, both of you. Bye. Bye.
Night.
AJ, I've been dying to talk to you since I watched this episode. I almost texted you to ask you how you felt about this episode because a lot of stuff happened that I'm worried about.
Go for it. Tell me what you think.
So I think you and I have talked over a couple weeks that really, like, how could Andy be redeemed and how could Jace be redeemed after what they've done and what's happened in the last few episodes. And then they seem to set, I mean, Andy came home this week and seems to, like, I don't even know what's up. I'm bothered by a lot of the whole Andy thing being too nicely tied up with a little, happened too easily and tied up with a little bow too easily. And Jace seems to also be on this path of, like, possibly changing his mind. And I, like, I'm not sure I can get behind that. And so I was really looking forward to hearing what you thought about that. And maybe you don't agree with
Andy,
me.
Yes and no. Andy, I think, is questionable. I mean, I think they played Andy well because he was all up for it. He's like, oh, we have to kill people? Okay. And then that story, you know, that he tells about doing it because of what Lorna did with the plane, I thought that was, you know, and like you see the look on her face, like, oh my God, I created this monster type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. And it was kind of nice to get something and see something why Andy feels the way he does. So there, you know, there's a reason behind it. He's not just some teenager that's like, you know, all gung ho and shit about it. So I liked that. There's part of me that still doesn't trust Andy. Like, he still has that darkness in him. I mean, clearly the whole family does. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't completely trust him with this. So Jace, I don't feel he's turning a corner or being redeemed. I feel like the character is weak. Not that they've done a weak job with the character. I feel like Jace as a person is weak-minded. You know, his daughter was killed, which is horrible. You know, but there's other people that have had, you know, people die, and they don't go on these benders, these revenge benders the way he does. You know, he lost his marriage, he lost his job, you know, and, you know, he gets this new calling, and he goes all in, and he questions things, but then they, like, say just, like, the right sentence or word, and he's like, oh, yeah, you're right, okay. You know, like, you know, after the whole thing with the Morlocks, he's like, oh, you told me that, you know, there was, you know, terrorists down there.
Terrorists, yeah.
You know, he's like, there was women and children there. There was, you know, and, you know, the guy, he's like, he goes, oh, well, you know, if, you know, this is just the beginning. We got to stay strong. And then, you know, you see the look on his face like, oh, okay. Like, he seems conflicted, but he's not. It's just, I still don't care that he says, oh, whoops, there was women and children down there. Because guess what? You shot an unarmed woman in the back.
Yeah.
So don't,
yeah.
Oh, there was women and children there, this whole spiel and story, and woe is me. He's not coming back from it. Are they going to probably bring him back from it, and he's going to help out in some way, shape, or form? Most likely. I hope they don't. I hope they stick with the way he's going. He's so wishy-washy. He can't stay straight on it. You know what I mean? Like, he's not.
Well, I think committed. Wishy-washy is the right word, because, like, he sees, like, he goes in and shoots all those Morlocks, and then he sees a teddy bear lying on the floor, and he gets this, like, faraway look in his eye, and he's all, like, guilty. And then, like, he shoots more people, and then, like, you know, he's like, oh, you know, we were told there were terrorists, there were kids down there. And his little mustache partner there goes, well, mutant kids grow up to be mutant adults, and so they deserve to die or whatever. And Jace is like momentarily horrified, but then he's not. And then I can't believe that he basically is, you know, he goes into, what's the TV? I keep wanting to call that guy Rex Ryan. His name is not Rex Ryan, but it's Ryan, right? Isn't his name Ryan, the radio guy? And, you know, Jace goes in there and he's like, I'm really not comfortable with this. And it only takes two sentences out of Ryan's mouth. And I thought to myself, so Jace was a really high up guy in Sentinel Services who's had a career in law enforcement and met so many, like, different kinds of people. And his job is to, like, figure people out and whatever. And, like, you know, Ryan is established as this sort of, like, washed up radio guy with no, like, he's just a salesman-y kind of guy. And he, like, within two sentences, he convinced Jace to be like, no, you know, what we really need is a race war.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I think you're right that, but he's wishy-washy, and I think you're right that it's wishy-washy writing. It's not that they have written this really complex guy to be wishy-washy. they just seem to not really, like, from scene to scene, he's sort of, like, angry, sad, wistful, angry, right? Like,
yeah.
But I feel like they keep laying the groundwork for him to, like, finally be like, this is enough. Like, Andy, so they set it up this week that they have, like, a parallel storyline and where Andy decides he can't kill any more innocent, he can't kill innocent people. I agree with you. I'm not sure I trust him. Because Andy did seem to enjoy killing people, and he wasn't horrified at all that Rebecca enjoyed killing people, and yet that's his big reason for leaving. Like, Rebecca died for nothing. I was kind of shocked when that came out of Andy's mouth.
Yeah.
When they talked about, like, Reva, like, not telling the truth and all. I'm like, oh, Rebecca, I forgot about her because you're on the show for 2 minutes. Yeah. He's okay with, like, people, you know.
Yeah, but he was okay when, Sage, when Sage was killed for being a traitor, it turned out that she wasn't the traitor. He was okay with that.
Yeah. And when Lorna says, listen, we're going to have to blow up, like, tons of buildings and all these innocent people are going to die, and Andy goes, well, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. And I was like, well, yeah, thousands of people are making sacrifices, but you're not. Like, what? You have to make sacrifices? He really was not. So it surprised me that she went with him, that he went with Lorna, except that, yeah. So I don't trust him either. I don't entirely... I could see Andy going with her to try to figure out where their opposition is so that Reva... I don't think he's smart enough to be, like, a double agent for Reva, or not that a double agent Reva doesn't know, but I don't think Andy's smart enough to pull something like that. And I could see Andy, like... I just don't see Andy... As much as he, like, separated himself from his parents, I don't see him throwing Lauren under the bus to be killed.
Well, I think... what turned him, I think he was kind of still on the fence until Reed tells him about killing, what's that guy's name? The annoying cop, Phil?
Was he Phil? Little mustache cop? Yeah.
Mustache guy, yeah.
He deserved to be killed.
Which was great. Which was so wonderful.
Yeah.
You know what I was hoping they were going to do with that guy? Had Reed not killed him, you know where I was hoping they were going to go with him? I was really hoping we were going to get to see him go home one day, you know, like after one of the days of, you know, killing Morlocks and all the muties. And I was just hoping to go home and be like, walk in the door and be like, hey, sport, what's going on? How's baseball practice? Oh, Dad, it's so great. I can hit the ball really far now because look what I can do. And find out that his son's a mutant.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that somehow he might get injected with the X. I was hoping maybe he'd get injected with the X gene and he'd become a mutant somehow, which would also be a good comeuppance for him. But he was horrible, and I was glad that he was killed. And I don't think that Reed was totally – like, Reed, I guess it's the first person Reed's ever killed because he clearly is not okay with it. And he's like, I kind of wanted to kill him. But I think he had to. I don't think there was any scenario in which, either of them could walk away, right? Like, he had to kill. He had no choice.
Sure.
Little Phil was going to kill him.
I mean, he was going to kill him because Reed's still trying to control his powers and didn't have the capabilities of not killing him. So there's that. Yeah. Had Reed had more practice and been better at it, he could have totally stopped himself and knocked the guy out or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, and plus, I mean, again, Reed's just learning these powers. His emotions are what control him. So he's angry at the guy. He wants to kill him. But if he's somebody that can control his powers, he probably doesn't kill him. Because that's not the person Reed is. So it's a very gray area. But we're sitting here going, thank God Reed killed him.
Yeah, that was a highlight. That was definitely the highlight of this week's episode.
So something we talked about last week, Blink.
Uh-huh.
We both said, okay, she was shot 3 times. We see her fall down. She's got to be dead. And then as soon as this episode starts with the flashback of the two of them in bed and she's talking about, you know, opening up, you know, a portal and just looking at the stars like that and everything, immediately I thought, okay, she's not dead because she must have portaled herself to a happy place as she was dying. So So they're going to find me somewhere. And then, you know, I immediately think that. And then, of course, John, is when he's punching the bricks, he says she portaled, you know, he says, I saw her fall somewhere else, you know. And, of course, what's his face there? Carlos is like, well, then what are you doing? Because you just said that she's not in there. So what are you doing? You know? And then, of course, at the end of the episode, I'm not sure if it was just in his head or if she, like, portaled to, like, limbo and that's why he heard her or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure where they're going with that.
I mean, when I heard that, I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, he's a tracker and he's hearing her. And so she's alive somewhere, right? I just feel like when you don't see a dead body and the characters don't get to mourn they're dead, then I feel like that person maybe is not really dead. It's a total TV trope, but, you know, I believe
it. No, I mean, I'm glad because with the people they've killed on this show, I'm like, this guy hates women. Which I know Matt Nix does not because he's had plenty of female leads before. But on one hand, I'm glad she's alive, most likely. On the other hand, I don't like when they do this stupid Glenn and dumpster shit. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But Matt Nix clearly loves women because he has turned Amy Acker into the biggest badass of the world of mutants. I mean, who needs powers when you're Amy Acker?
She is great.
Amazing in this episode.
I just can't believe where her character has come from when, like, how I can't believe how far she has come from where she started in season one. She has no powers and she's a bigger badass than most of the mutants. Like, she's the most aggressive, the most likely we have to fight. She definitely was like, Lauren, you run, I'll die. Like but that whole scene with her and Lauren trapped in that building, I thought was really good. They're well paired together, the two actresses, but Amy Acker's character has become incredible. Caitlin's my favorite character now, and she's not even a mutant, right?
Yeah, and you
Caitlin is the
her.
Future of the mutant race. No, I couldn't stand her. She was this big whiny, like, Andy, where's Andy? We got to find Andy, my kids, Walt, right?
She really has had the best journey. And she was hit on all cylinders in this episode because, you know, I mean, she made the hard decision. Like, Lauren, like, she's like, you had to separate because you knew they were going to chase, you know, to get a better chance because they were going to chase them and they're probably getting caught right now, which Lauren's upset about and rightfully so, but at the same time, Caitlin's like, yeah, and it's a hard choice, but, you know, maybe they got away, maybe they didn't. But if we were all stayed together, we were all getting caught, you know?
Yep.
So
I
like that she made the hard decision. You know, of course she was going to, you know, use her three bullets that she had left to get her daughter away. You know, and then later with Reed, you know, she's, you know, Reed's like, you know, what do we do about Andy, this, that, and everything. Caitlin's like, if he doesn't want to come back, we can't make him. Like, she's totally turned the corner, like, with that. Like, she totally sees it now. Like, forcing him to come back isn't going to bring him back.
Yep.
And she is seeing that now, finally. You know?
Yeah,
and
she's really come around,
you know,
and...
Yeah, and then, and then she tells Reed when he's, you know, all like, you know, I can't believe I killed the guy and everything with Andy and everything. And she's like, well, maybe you had to go through that to help your son. And I'm like, damn, she is just killing it in this episode.
She really did. I kind of liked how, you know, so a lot of TV shows have sort of a theme or a through story every week where the characters face similar situations. And sometimes they really hit you over the head with it. I thought they did a good job this week of Andy and Lorna and Reed and Caitlin. All were sort of facing what it means for people to either kill people or basically to have people be collateral damage as you advance your agenda or your purpose. And like, you're right, like, Caitlin really got it and, like, did what she had to do in a way that, like, made sense for everyone. She's like, I knew we couldn't all survive. Like, Lauren went right to sort of the most selfish and nefarious version of that, where she's like, oh, Mom, you knew that they would slow us down and we could get away if you ditched them. And Kim's like, no. She's like, I knew that we couldn't all live and our best chance was to split up. She doesn't really admit it, but she was right. And she she knew that those people would probably die, but she wasn't callous like Andy, who was like, well, thousands of people die, but I got to, advance my, and Jace, who is so wishy-washy about who lives and who dies, and Reed, who over-emotionalizes it. Like, oh, I killed that guy. Well, like, I get it's the first guy that he killed, but he had to kill the guy. So I Caitlin is really, she's become so complex and so interesting. Maybe the most interesting. I love those little bits. Every now and then she gives us a line where she talks about what it's like to be the only human, the only person without powers in the whole place. And every now and then John will make a little. Yeah, you do forget because her superpower is being a badass. And you know, every now and then someone will say like, "Well, your training is coming along great, also," and they like remind us that she's training and that she's becoming this person. She's really great. She's really, really great character.
I'm so glad that Lorna is back with the Mutant Underground. Because maybe now she won't look like she's going to cry in every scene anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You notice
she's Lorna, been pretty.
She's always so sad because of everything that's going on. Like every time Reva gives a tutorial or tells, okay, here's the next part of our plan. And as soon as everybody walks away, Lorna gets this really sad look on her face. Like, stop doing that, because if anybody sees you, they're going to realize something's not right, you know?
Yeah.
And every time we see her, she looks like she's on the brink of crying. So hopefully now that she's back, she doesn't have to do that horrible acting face anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I hope so, because she's such a powerful woman, and to see her like that is not, it's not where we want that character to be. I want to ask you about the Frost sisters, and when Lorna leaves, Reva is, really mad and is like, how did we not know this was going to happen? And the Frost sisters say, well, we could sense her resistance, but we never really thought, that she would leave or whatever. I'm paraphrasing that conversation. And so part of me thought, and they said, well, one of us is supposed to have a special connection, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, what is it about Lorna that makes her hard for them to read? Like, it should be pretty easy for them to see Lorna's intentions. And why are they unable to read Lorna? Or is it that, I forget which one it is. Is it Chloe, the one that's her friend? Is it that she's, she's a little... Esme's a little bit knocked down with everything, and is she just not telling the truth about what she senses about Lorna? I don't know if you have an opinion on that or if I've overthought it.
The only thing I could think of they said last week they couldn't read Sage because of her techie skills, the way her brain is wired. Maybe something
one
with
zero.
Maybe Lorna, because of the magnetism, there's some way that she's blocking them partially or something, maybe.
I guess
maybe
she brings all electricity.
Maybe she's good at clouding not all her thoughts, but at least enough that they don't that's a good question. Maybe that new headgear helps.
Maybe the headband. That was one enormous bracelet that she could melt it down into that giant headband. But it seems like Lorna's been acting so shifty. Like every scene she's all like, well, what is the plan? Come on, tell me. And then she's always like got this guilty look on her face at all times. And it just seems like shocking that, the only reason Reva didn't figure it out is because Reva's never around, because she's off doing God knows what, but like everybody else should have been able to figure it out. So,
well, that one,
I don't
the
know
girl
if one
that,
of the...
Max's friend, she was suspicious of Lorna.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, for sure. So we have only, what is the season finale of The Gifted? That's in a couple weeks. It's not next week, right?
Nope, that's next week.
It is next week. That's right. Because it almost felt like a finale this week because they had all that sort of music and slow-mo where everyone was coming through the door one at a time.
Right.
And you know, Lorna comes and Annie comes. And you could kind of tell that John was sort of like, is Blink going to come? Is Blink going to come? She didn't come.
I kind of had a problem, actually, with that. With the way everybody walks through the door one at a time. Like it was like, you know, Andy come through and he kind of nods to John and then he steps to the side and then Lorna appears in the door and it's like, really? Like, I know they're doing this for dramatic effect, but it kind of seems silly.
Yeah.
Everybody else walks through the door
little,
together. Those
two
have to make a grand entrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess everybody had to have their chance and come in. And Andy's been, it was a little overwrought and a little overdramatic with the slow-mo and everything. But that had like a little season finale kind of feel to it, you know? I mean, that's how like a movie would end maybe, with everybody united and we'll wait for the sequel. But next week is a season finale. It's only 1 hour, I think. And I read a little interview with Matt Nix, who said this is going to be like a big action-packed episode, as a finale should be, right?
Oh, I would think so. Because of everything that's on the line.
Yeah. I mean, in this interview, he said that there was like so much action that like people were like, how are we going to do this? We can't even do this. But they made it work or whatever. So it all comes to a head on Tuesday and, here's what he said. There's a lot of tragedy and a lot of hope, which is like the least helpful thing that, least spoilery thing he could possibly say. Right. And some big stuff happens that made people cry on the set.
Somebody's dying.
And Amy Acker said, there's going to be some tears, maybe a lot. So someone's going to die, I think. Right.
Sounds that way.
So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me for, you know, anyone to die. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that people have to die because it's a season finale of a violent show and people have to die. And then there has to be a cliffhanger, as there always has to be. And this show is not renewed yet. But I think that I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean... I feel like the whole Von... I don't know. I mean, the Von Strucker children have to survive. I feel like they're the centerpiece of the show, and Lorna. And beyond those three, like, almost anybody could be... Like, would I really care if Reed died? I mean, Amy Acker, I don't want her to die, but, like, the kids could go on. I feel like John's been a little bit of a baby.
I'll say this. Amy Acker and Stephen Moyer are the top billed names on the show. So,
oh, yeah, they are. They're the biggest actors, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I mean,
in terms of their character.
In terms of their character, Reed's got too much story for them to kill him. I mean, he's just getting...
Because he's a Von Strucker, yeah.
Hours.
Yeah.
There's too much story there. I mean, Amy Acker, I mean, you know, she's killing it, so I could, you know... I don't think they're going to. I could see it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm just saying I could see the children going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't see Lorna. I don't see, you know,
no.
Maybe somebody like Erg. I could see Carlos because.
Erg's a non-factor. I could see Carlos.
He could die.
I could even see John. You know, clearly John was way more in love with Blink than he was with Dreamer.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being this distraught over her death. I remember him kind of being, aw, and that was the extent of it.
Yeah. I mean, I could see him dying in some way saving Blink. Like, Blink is probably alive out there, and I could see him dying, like, saving her. I could see her, like... having another death scene where she dies, like, again, like, she didn't really die, right? What, we don't believe she's dead, but could we see her again and then she dies anyway? Which would be sort of heartbreaking, right, to get her back and see her die. I, you know, I could see Reva die, but that wouldn't be that big a deal and nobody would really care that much.
Yeah, no, I don't.
It's, I mean, it's time for Reva to go because I just feel like this story arc is over and there would be a new story for next season. And she's boring.
Yeah, I mean,
she's not even on the show that much.
Yeah, she doesn't necessarily need to die to leave, though.
Yeah, she just needs to be like, yeah, have her plan come to naught, run off. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess there'll be some big stuff. And so we'll talk about that and more next week, right?
Yes, we will, during the finale.
Yeah.
Good time.
All
right.
I think that's all we got tonight.
And then
yeah.
After that, yeah, and then the following week, we'll only have two shows.
I know, because nothing new is coming back. We're going to have to get on the spring schedule and see what's back when. In April, some stuff should be coming back on. So we'll get our schedule together.
April, yeah, in April, there's this little show. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called Game of Thrones. I hear it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard of that. Is that on NBC? I know. I just finished True Detective on Sunday, and I'm, like, wondering, what are we going to do now for another whole month before, you know, 6 weeks before Game of Thrones? Yeah. So we'll find something to cover in between.
I'm sure there's something that we're not thinking of that's we haven't. That type of thing.
All right. Well, we'll post it on Blog Talk Radio, what we're covering in the coming weeks, right? So keep an eye on our little page there and watch out for what we're covering every week.
All right.
And with that, we are done in 90 minutes tonight.
Yes.
So thank you, AJ, for joining me tonight.
Yes. We'll do it again next week.
And you want to sign us off?
You started the show. I figured you would, but thank you everybody for listening as always.
Okay.
And good night. Karen's going to hit the end program.
I will. Thanks to NDB Media for hosting us, and thanks everyone for being here. And have a great week, and good night.
Good night.